This video was recorded just 2 days before Maureen Anu Kelly decided to go on a spiritual journey into the wilderness. She was on a mission to free herself from her ego and reconnect with nature. She felt that if she went out into the wilderness naked, she would become more in contact with the world, as we are all born naked. Here's the video.
How's it? We just jamming. Get you in there.
Sorry, huh?
Hit it.
Anu, as her friends called her, planned this spiritual trip with two friends, but decided at the last minute to go by herself, completely naked, with nothing but a knife, a compass, and a fanny pack. She was last seen at 5 p.m. near Canyon Creek Campground. She did not return that evening, and when she did not turn up the next day, her friends reported her missing, initiating a search by Skamania County Sheriff's Department that was to last a week. The extensive search turned up no clues to her disappearance, and even canine tracking units were unable to locate any trace of her. The terrain in the area where Kelly disappeared is an unforgiving landscape of timber and brush. The temperatures dropped to the low 40s on the first night that she was gone, so it's possible that she simply succumbed to the exposure, but no sign of her has ever been found to this day. In late February 2019, a man named James Pruitt from Etowah, Tennessee, had been hiking around the Rocky Mountain National Park in Colorado. Arriving on the 22nd of the month, Pruitt, an experienced hiker who had visited the park every winter for the previous 3 years, had hiked for a week. Around 10 a.m. on the morning of the 28th, he had made contact with his family back home. That was the last time anyone ever heard from him. He had been hiking in the Glacier Gorge area, located in the middle of the park, east of the Continental Divide, a popular area for seeing many natural wonders. And on March 3, 2019, his car was found parked at the trailhead by park rangers, at which point his family was contacted. A massive search operation began, with the Rocky Mountain National Park search team being assisted by dozens of members of other search and rescue teams from neighboring counties, as well as rescue dog teams and specialist alpine rescue crews. Unfortunately, there had been almost 2 feet of snow accumulation in the Glacier Gorge area before the search even began, making finding prints or other clues as to Pruitt's whereabouts next to impossible. Severe weather continued to hamper search efforts, with heavy snow continuing to build up in the area, covering any trace of the missing hiker. Rocky Mountain National Park consists over 260,000 acres of government land, and adjoins over 250,000 acres of United States Forest Service lands. It's filled with canyons, creeks, and mountains as high as 14,000 feet, plenty of places even for the experienced hikers to get lost or trapped. According to public information, James Pruitt was one of 3 people to go missing in Rocky Mountain National Park in the space of just 6 months. In early October 2018, Ryan Albert of New Jersey went missing in the Granite Pass area of the park. His body was found 7 months later by highly skilled park climbing rangers, his death being ruled either by blunt force trauma, hypothermia, or a combination of the two. Micah Tice, a 20-year-old U.S. Air Force cadet from Las Vegas, Nevada, was reporting missing in the park in late November 2018. His remains were found 7 months later in the Boulder Brook drainage area. On June 14, 1969, Dennis Martin, a 6-year-old child from Knoxville, Tennessee, was visiting the Great Smoky Mountains National Park with members of his family when he disappeared, never to be seen again. It was Father's Day weekend, and the family had a tradition of camping and hiking in the park. That day, the family had hiked to Spence Field, a highland meadow in the Western Smokies, known for its spectacular views, where they were planning to spend the night. At around 4:30 p.m., Dennis's father saw the child go behind a bush, but he never emerged. After a few minutes, his father began searching for his son. After a few hours, the family got the National Park Service Rangers involved, and thus began a search and rescue effort that would turn out to be the largest in the park's history. What began with a crew of 30 people put together by the National Park Service would soon swell to a party of 240, with volunteers pouring in day after day. In the end, some 1,400 people would end up being involved in the search for Dennis, with separate searches carried out by the National Guard and Special Forces. The operation was made difficult from the very start, as bad weather that began shortly after Dennis disappeared brought over 3 inches of rain down in the area, making it very hard to find footprints or other traces of the missing child. With such a large number of people taking part in the search, it is also believed that some potential clues may have been accidentally obscured or destroyed by untrained volunteers. The Martin family offered a reward of $5,000 for any information regarding Dennis's disappearance. Several clues, including a sock and a shoe likely belonging to Dennis, were found, but in the end, the search turned up no other signs of the boy. It was officially called off on June 29, 1969. Having covered over 56 square miles in the course of the search. Several theories have been put forward as to what could have happened to Dennis Martin. He may have been attacked by a wild animal, as the area was a known habitat of bears, bobcats, feral pigs, and copperhead snakes, or he may have been abducted by someone in the park who had been watching for an opportunity. It is not impossible to think that the young boy, who was out in the woods alone on his first overnight camping trip with his family, simply got lost in the massive wilderness part of the Smoky Mountains National Park that is known for its steep slopes and ravines. Dennis Martin is not the only tragic case, though. In the last 50 years, 3 other people were known to have disappeared without a trace at Smoky Mountains National Park. One of these people is a 24-year-old man named Derek Luking, a native of Northern Virginia who had been working as an orderly in East Tennessee. On March 15, 2012, Luking did not show up for work at the Peninsula Behavioral Health Center where he had been working, and calls to his cell phone went unanswered. Suspicions were raised, and his family in Virginia were contacted. When they arrived in Tennessee to help look for Derek, they searched his computer and found that he had booked a hotel near the Smoky Mountains National Park, and saw that he had been looking up information on the park. Surveillance footage later showed him leaving his hotel, and a search of his room at the hotel uncovered a Bible and a liquor bottle. His family managed to find his car abandoned in the parking lot of an area in Newfound Gap. In the car, they found several items of expensive, newly purchased survival gear, as well as food, Derek's wallet, and several pages from an Army survival manual, all which indicated that Derek had been planning a big excursion into the wild. The strange thing was that he had left all of this in the car rather than taking it with him. A note was found in the vehicle with a cryptic message that stated, "Don't try to follow me." This may have been a sign that Derek had planned to commit suicide in the national park, but his family have firmly denied the possibility that Derek was depressed or suicidal in the months leading up to his disappearance. And it has even been suggested that the note was left by someone else in order to throw investigators off the scent of any foul play. Approximately 60 people, including 3 teams of canine search and rescue, were involved in the search of Derek Luking. Hikers and campers in the area on the day he disappeared were interviewed, but strangely, no one remembered seeing him. Despite there being a lot of visitors to the park on that clear and sunny day, this suggested that Derek had gone into the wilderness almost as soon as he got out of the car and perhaps had tried to avoid being seen by anyone else. After a few months of Luking's disappearance, a backpack and some human remains were found in the area where he had gone missing. In a bizarre turn of events, these turned out not to belong to Derek Luking, but to a 23-year-old man named Michael Giovanni Cocchini, who went missing in the same area just days after Luking did. Searchers hiked hundreds of miles around the area where Derek Luking disappeared. Scent tracking dogs were used. Even helicopters were brought in to search during the day and night, all of which did not find any evidence as to where he might have gone. ''22-year-old Morgan Heimer from Cody, Wyoming, was an experienced outdoorsman who had been working as a guide on river rafting trips in the Grand Canyon. He had been a student of English at the University of Wyoming and was known to be an excellent swimmer. In June 15th, Heimer was leading a group of visitors to Grand Canyon National Park in an 8-day rafting expedition. On the 6th day of the trip, he and the lead guide were talking, and Heimer told his colleague that he was interested in taking some time off that afternoon. The lead ranger walked away, and when he looked back, Heimer had disappeared and was never seen again. 1 minute he had been standing beside the water's edge, the next he was gone. A search was conducted by the National Park Service Rangers and other search and rescue teams, both on land and in the river itself, but no trace of Heimer was ever found. Heimer had been wearing his buoyancy vest when he disappeared, and many of those interviewed by investigators at the time claimed that Heimer would have had the experience to know whether the river was unsafe to jump into at that time. Morgan Heimer's disappearance remains unsolved to this day. Gilbert Mark Gilman had been a paratrooper in the U.S. Army, who had combat experience with the 82nd Airborne, as well as serving in Panama, Israel, and East Africa, and receiving 2 Bronze Stars. He also had degrees from the London School of Economics, Union College in New York, and Solvay Business School in Brussels. He formerly worked as a military interrogator in Iraq and took assignments in counterterrorism and counterintelligence. He also worked as a civilian contractor for a year in Iraq and was fluent in Arabic, Russian, and Chinese. This highly intelligent, highly experienced individual went on a walk in Olympic National Park, Washington, on June 24, 2006, and never returned. Gilman had been talking to a park ranger that day, who later said, "I got the sense he was going for a hike." This was the last known sighting of the retired military man. His car was parked at the Staircase Ranger Station in a lowland area of old-growth forest. It was found there on June 25, 2006, a day after he had been speaking to the park ranger in the same spot. A 10-day search, which included tracking dogs, a helicopter, and a plane equipped with heat-seeking infrared cameras, yielded nothing which might lead to the discovery of Gilman. As many as 62 people were on the ground at one point, seeking any signs of the man amidst the rocky hills, dense forest, and North Fork Skokomish River in the Staircase area of Olympic National Park. No trace of him was ever found outside of his car. Gilman is not the first person to go missing in the area, as 2 hikers who went missing there in the 1980s also were never found. Perhaps as a result of his unique career path and life story, there has been much interest in many theories put forward as to what could have happened to Gilman, ranging from the idea that he was involved in some kind of top secret work for the government that led him to intentionally disappear himself, to the idea that he was actually a victim of the serial killer Israel Keyes, who traveled around the wilderness areas and national parks all over the country in hunt for his victims. Keyes was known to have been in Washington at the same time of Gilman's disappearance. On the morning of July 1, 2010, Eric Lewis, age 57, went missing when his climbing companions discovered that he had unclipped from the climbing rope and disappeared. The 3-man team was ascending the Gibraltar Ledges route in Mount Rainier National Park and encountered high wind and low visibility. The climber in the lead, Don Storm Jr., stopped and was joined by the second climber on the rope, Trevor Lane. At 13,900 feet, as they waited for Lewis to join them, they discovered only a coil with a butterfly knot when they reeled in the rope. They had caught glimpses of Lewis on the rope just moments before and immediately searched the slope below them. After what they deemed a thorough local search, they proceeded to the summit ridge in case Lewis had somehow skirted around them while they searched below. When Lewis was not found on the summit ridge, they returned to Camp Muir and reported the incident to climbing rangers. A search operation ensued, with climbing teams searching the Nisqually Icefall and Gibraltar Chute areas, while a helicopter crew searched other, more difficult areas to access where Lewis could have potentially ended up. Eventually, Eric's climbing gear was found in an ice cave some 200 meters below where he had gone missing. Despite the snow, no footprints of Eric's were found leading to the cave, or for that matter, anywhere else in the area. And despite the extensive search operations involving multiple mountain rescue groups, no other trace of Eric Lewis was ever found. Nor has anyone come up with a convincing reason for why he would have taken himself off the rope that his fellow climbers were attached to. However, the mountain itself is actually a stratovolcano, and the wilderness around it comprises more than 200,000 acres of tundra, old-growth forest, valleys, glaciers, and subalpine meadows. On November 11, 1997, Chet Hansen, an enthusiastic nature photographer, left his home around 6:30 a.m. He took a huge amount of photography equipment with him, but was lightly dressed and clearly had not intended to stay overnight at the park. When he didn't show up at his parents' house that evening, his mother wasn't overly concerned, believing that he may have been staying with friends. But alarm bells started ringing when he didn't show up for work the following day either, and he was declared missing. During an initial search by his friends and family, Hansen's car was located at the Creek Falls Trailhead in Mount Rainier National Park. A person matching his description was reported to park rangers seen near Shriner Peak on November 11th at around midday. An extensive search was conducted with over 100 people on the ground, as well as sniffer dogs and cadaver dogs, but no trace of Chet Hansen was ever found. Then on July 8th of the following year, a 34-year-old writer and book editor named Joe Wood went up Mount Rainier to do some bird watching and never came down. At least that is what is believed, as no trace of Wood has ever been found in two decades. Wood was not reported missing for almost a week, during which time some exceptionally heavy snowfall had buried any hopes of finding obvious signs of his last whereabouts for rescue operation. His car was located at the parking lot at the base of the mountain, and later on a hiker was interviewed, who had said that he had seen Joe Wood alive at around 4 p.m. that day at an elevation of around 4,800 feet, and had even spoken to him briefly. No other leads turned up after that, and Wood was never seen again. He was one of three people to go missing at Mount Rainier in that year alone.